through verse 21. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. He said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we're so thankful to be in your midst. We're so thankful that you are Lord over all. God, that you are the captain of our ship, Lord. You are leading and directing and guiding, God, this church as well as our individual lives. Lord, today we look to you, God. We don't look to a man. Lord, we don't look to a self-help book. We look to words of instructions from the Holy Spirit that will be specific to guide our vessels, our lives. God, teach us as we lay our hearts on the altar today. Expose hidden sins, God. Expose things that keep us trapped, Lord, from doing the will of God. Expose any evil that's in us, God, that we have just become so accustomed to, Lord, that we don't even see it any longer, God. Let your Holy Spirit shine down upon us today. Lord, we have gathered in this place, Lord, to learn of you, to be with you. In your presence is fullness of joy, is what the psalmist said. So, Lord, we do rejoice and we do feel the joy and the love of your Spirit today. But, God, do your perfect work in our hearts. Don't let anyone leave here that doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven. God, I pray that every one of our hearts would be challenged today to be 100% your servant. Every moment of every day, you are Lord of our lives. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The instructions that Paul lays out are pretty clear in this chapter. So I titled this, Instructions for Godly Productive Living. I find that He doesn't just want us to get to heaven. He wants to use us while we're here on earth. He wants this life to be as good as the next life. He wants to bless you. But in order for Him to bless you, in order for God to flow in your life, there are some things that you need to be doing. So He lays out, I labeled six things or five things and then 6 points. But the very first thing he says is walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly, which means very cautiously, sensitive, as though you're going through a thorny terrain. When I read this verse, I always have one mental image. I always think of a cat. Have you ever seen a cat when a cat's on the hunt? That cat gets low and creeps really quietly, and it walks around. It doesn't just pounce, right? Because it may be a trap. How many of us have pounced when it was a trap set for us? We thought we were the one hunting, and somebody was hunting us. So that cat walks all the way around, and you can see that cat looking around like, what's out here? You know, where can this little thing go? What, I'm going to bat this little mouse around 1,000 times before I kill it. I'm just going to have some fun with this thing. It's walking circumspectly. Have you ever thought about your life that way? How often we walk through life just like so casually, right? Like we don't think about tomorrow. We don't think about yesterday. We just don't think. Off we go. But the description of the Lord says, I want you to walk very cautiously through this life. I want you to give it some thought. I had a man teach me one time, if you want to know the will of God, look at your yesterdays. You know, it's amazing when you analyze what happened yesterday, what you will learn. You know, we can't learn much from tomorrow, but we can learn from yesterday. You know, last Sunday as we were sitting here on these pews, and the ushers came up to pray, and Terry had called me Saturday, and he had said, Eric, he said, I've got a bad cough, and he said, I don't think I'll come to church. And I said, okay. I said, that's fine. And but as these six men stood here before me, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I didn't understand it. And the Lord said, this is your board. I'm like, duh. You know, I thought it was me. Little did I know, in 12 hours, Terry would not be there. And the Lord was preparing my heart for what was to happen, but I didn't hear it and didn't see it that way. But as I reflected back, I said, I wish I'd caught that one, Jesus. But I catch it today. Typically in March at our annual business meeting, actually Terry was coming up for vote this year. We're not going to replace him. We're not going to replace that. Because I believe that was a word from the Lord that said, this is your board. So I don't mean to disappoint you, because a lot of people like to vote. And you can vote if you want to. I even give you paper. But I believe this was the board. This is the board that God said, this is your board. It's not until I look back that I saw that. What did God speak to you yesterday that you missed? What is God trying to tell you today that you're not catching because life is so busy? We get so busy, right? It's we're just going here and there. I worked at Kmart for 6 months. It was the worst company I'd ever worked for. There was no forward thinking. It was always reactive. You got to do this. It's got to be done in this many hours. You got to get, hurry, 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 hurry. That's all. Oh, geez. I did not like it. And that's the way we live our life sometimes. The important things. What we deem as important. Sometimes the urgent things can replace the important things. Sometimes you can get so busy doing... If you've got children, small kids, I'm preaching to you. Life can be so busy. Just making sure you got food on the table and the shoes on the feet, you know, and every child goes out. He's got his coat on and... I mean, by the time you get them on the school bus to go to school, you're like, oh, dear Jesus. I feel like I already had my day and it's 7 a.m. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The wise are thoughtful. They're caring. They're spiritually minded. A person who's on a mission. Can I say it this way? I think we need to be more eternity minded. What do you mean, Pastor? I think we need to give more thought to what God is doing in our lives and what purposes He have for our life. A lot of people think that God doesn't have a purpose for your life. That's just not true. Maybe you don't know it, but God has a purpose for you. God has a will for you. Very specific will. He goes on, he says, I want you to redeem the time. A friend of mine one time was, we worked together and we had appointments every day. And boy, if you got carried away at one house, you were late for another one. And my friend Ronnie was really, he had really spent way too much time at one house. And he was flying down the road and a cop pulls him over. And the cop says, what in the world are you doing? I mean, it was just ridiculous how fast he was driving. He said, I'm just redeeming the time. I'm just trying to redeem the time. Yeah, he got a ticket. Redeeming the time means to capitalize on every opportunity. Have you ever went through your day and thought, man, I missed that. I had an opportunity to share Jesus. I had an opportunity to tell my wife I loved her or she looked nice. I had an opportunity to hug my kids. And as your kids grow and they move out of the house, you're going to want every opportunity you get to throw them arms around your kids. And you know, guys, I'm not a big hugger, but I love to hug my children. I just do. I don't know. You know, sometimes I can spend 15 minutes with my kid and I'm like, okay, all right, go on. I'm all right with this empty nest. Good to see you. Bless you. But man, I wish those 15 minutes would happen more often, you know. Sometimes we don't see them, but every 3 or 4 months, and boy, it's hard. Redeem the time. I find that a lot of adults check out educationally after they graduate high school or after they graduate college. You're ever learning. You're ever learning. You should be ever studying, applying yourself to the Word of God, absolutely, but to wisdom. Though it cost me everything, right? That's what Proverbs said. Though wisdom cost me everything, I'm going to go for it. You know what that tells me? Wisdom costs you. Wisdom is going to make you have to apply yourself to learn. If you're a good cook, you have applied yourself to that skill. My wife started taking piano lessons at what? 6 years old? And then by the time she was like 16, she started playing at the church. Something that we enjoy every week, we don't realize how much she applied herself for that skill. Every day, practice 30 minutes a day all of her life. People that are good at something, most of them didn't just wake up that way. Most of them applied themselves to that. And I find that we as adults get lazy. Now, if you're 85, you listen to me. And if you're 15, you listen to me. Don't stop applying yourself to get knowledge, to get wisdom. God has something that He wants to share to you, that will enrich your life, right? But you're going to have to take the opportunity. Husbands, you know, women do marriage so much better than men do. You know, never in the Bible does it say, wives, know your husband. But it says, husbands, know your wife, which means to study her. And this is not being sexual. It means you better get to know this woman because they're strange. They do weird things that we're not used to. Can I hear an amen from any brave men? Yes, amen. Your life will go better, men, married men. Your life will go better if you will study that woman. And there's sometimes when you walk in the house very gently. And then there's sometimes when you can be fun and just, but you got to know that woman. You got to know what's going on, those hormones. You know, and we're not like that. Most generally, men are sort of this way and women are sort of this way. And man, it's a fun life getting to know those roller coaster rides. Woohoo! We're riding today, boy. Redeem the time. Spiritually, relationally, educationally. Let's make the most of our time. Let's not be fools. Let's be wise. Let's give ourselves. He says, don't be unwise. Newton's third law says this, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Don't be unwise. Sowing and reaping still happens. Don't be unwise, husbands. You can add fuel to the fire of a fight, but a soft answer turns away wrath. And wives. This fight, this little bit of friction can grow into a major bonfire, or it can be poured water on. Sometimes just like that. How many times I wish that I would have just kept silent. But I used to be real mouthy. I think I used to be. I'm really trying. This is something I try to work on. The Bible says you sow and you reap. That's in every part of life. See, if you're sowing friendship, you're going to reap friendship. A lot of people wonder, why don't I have any friends? Look at your sowing. The two events that we had this week, the one thing that stood out to me, the funeral and the wedding, there was such love in these rooms. It stirred my heart both times because of the love. And I thought this, somebody has been sowing. Because it doesn't just happen. You've got to sow love and you reap love. And you know what I find? I find that we reap it when we need it the most. You sow money. Say, man, I don't know where all this money come from in my bank account. Maybe it's not yours. Maybe the Lord has given it to you to help somebody else. Be sensitive. Listen to the Lord. The blessing comes in obedience. As you listen to Him, you might be able to help somebody. Think before you speak. Them are some godly words right there. How many of you have been like me and not had to pull 1 foot out but 2 feet out of your mouth? If only I could rewind that statement. Oh, dear Jesus, right? And then he goes on, he says, understand what the will of God is. Understand what the will... Do you see how this is building? I want you to walk circumspectly. I want you to redeem the time. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of God is. In other words, he's saying, I've got a plan for your life. There is a path that I have made just for you. And I find that we get off that path so much of the time. Right? We're wandering here and there. But the path that God has laid for us is where all the blessings of life for us is at. You will receive the blessings of God on the path of God. Don't get off the path. Give it some thought. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You can put up that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:15-19. Many people don't understand what the will of God is, but this verse has 6 things that I believe shows you what the will of God is. I'm not going to read the verse, but I just want to pull out some things. First of all, don't render evil for evil. Just because someone does bad to you, someone gets hateful to you, you don't have the right to get hateful back. You don't have the right to cuss somebody out just because they started first. You gave that right up when you surrendered your heart to Jesus. Maybe the preacher didn't tell you that. Don't render evil for evil. Husbands, don't render evil for evil. Wives, don't render evil for evil. Is anybody getting this? It's going to help your marriages. Number 2, Pursue what is good for everyone, not just for you. The one thing, the older I get, the more I realize how selfish we are. Down to church services. We tend to plan things that are convenient for me. And ain't that way. My life is not supposed to be convenient for me. God called me to be your servant. Your servant. Specifically, her servant. But your servant too. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? You become a servant. So we have to consider one another all the time. What's good for you? Is this going to hurt someone? I really would like to say this, but how is she going to take that? Are those words going to hurt or are they going to build up? If they're going to hurt, shut up. Keep your mouth closed. Probably doesn't need to be said. Number three, rejoice always. I cannot read that verse that I don't think of my friend Terry. Because rejoice means to twirl about. And Pastor Art used to have Terry Stahl stand and say, Terry, show us how it is to rejoice. And inevitably, he always did it like a little doll. He put his hand on his head. And I still see that in my mind so clear. Life is to be rejoicing. This is the will of God, guys. You want to know what the will of God is? The will of God for you is to rejoice. But Eric, you don't know what kind of week I had. I had a funeral. How can you rejoice in the week of a funeral? Because my eyes look to my Savior. My faith is not in this life. It's in Him alone. I can rejoice in all things because He is in control. It doesn't matter what my bank account says. It doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter what stupid things President Trump has tweeted this week. They don't matter. Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord. I rejoice in Him and Him alone. Pray without ceasing. Say, how in the world can you do that? He never gets off your mind. I am conscious about Christ all day long. I don't know if you're there yet. Maybe you're not, and I don't want to condemn you because I wasn't there for a long time. But I can tell you, I think about the Lord all day. The first thought that comes through my mind when I wake up is Him. Good morning, Lord. Good morning. And then it's you. God help those stinking people. No. Oh, I do. You're the second thing usually on my mind. God bless those people today. Let their lives be blessed. In everything, give thanks. In everything. God, I don't feel real good today. Do you know, among this busy week, I passed a kidney stone. In everything, give thanks. Jesus, I love you. You know, I had something to thank God because it was little. It was tiny. So I said, thank you, God, that was little. I passed one time. It looked like an arrowhead. I mean, that sucker was huge. This one was just a bit. So I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I thank the Lord for a good wife. Thank the Lord for healthy children. I thank the Lord for a good church. I thank the Lord for each one of you. I thank the Lord for the finances that we have. Thank the Lord for a good vehicle, for my health. There's so many things to thank Him for. If only we'll just take the time, slow life up just a minute, and just begin to give Him thanks. I even thank Him for the hard times. Man, I've had some hard times. You know, it's in the hard times that I believe we learn more than any other time in our life. We went through a really difficult time one time, and Treva called her sister, and it's one of her prayer partners, and Tricia said, "I'm really glad you guys are going through this. If I could have reached through that phone, I wouldn't have, because I knew exactly what she meant. This is going to make you a better pastor. This thing that you're struggling with, it's probably going to make you a better husband. It's going to make you a better wife. It's going to make you a better person. It's going to make you a better child of God." Can I just say this? God has not neglected you. God is there. God is with you right now. Do you understand that? We say that so casually, don't we? But do you understand Emmanuel, God with us? There's an old story about a man years and years ago, and he would go to church and make a commotion every service. And the deacons got tired of it, and the board got tired of it, and they said, "Pastor, you've got to go talk to so-and-so." And they said, "He's just embarrassing us, the way he acts in service. And, you know, when we have visitors come in, we just know he's going to show out." And so the pastor went out to his house. The old man is plowing with two mules. And the pastor comes to him and said, called him by name, and said, I need to talk to you about the way you act in church, about all the shouting and stuff like that. He said, "You know, there's just some people complaining about it. And can you hold it down? Can you just sort of put a lid on it?" And the old gentleman said, "Well, Pastor," he said, "it's sort of like this." He said, "I start thanking God for these two mules that helped me plow this land. And then I look in that house and I see my lovely wife and I thank God for her." He said, "I see my children all playing and healthy." And he said, "I just thank God for those." And then Pastor, he said, "Pastor, hold these reins. I feel a shot coming on." See, you may not understand why people get loud in service. It's because they've got something to get loud about. Some people get loud at a ball game. Others of us get loud in the house of God. You hang around, it's a little contagious. And then he says, "Don't quench the Spirit. Let the Spirit flow." This is the will of God, guys. This is the will of God. Now, He has a specific will, but this is a general will for all of us, that we can all do that. He goes on, He says, "Don't be drunk with wine." Let's stop there. Don't be drunk with wine. Now, I'm going to live to that verse. And I'm never going to taste it. I'm not going to indulge in any way, and I will never be drunk with wine. But the sin is intoxication. I believe that people can drink wine. You could even have a beer if you want. It's not going to help your witness, I will tell you that. But I don't believe it sends you to hell. I believe the sin is in indulgence. But he's really, what he's saying is, don't let a substance control you. You see, it can be wine, it could be marijuana, it could be beer, it could be whiskey, it could be mixed drinks, and it could be food. It could be shopping. Do you have to shop to feel happy? Say, "Pastor, you just need to move right along." His teaching here is, don't let the world lead you. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of the Lord lead you, not the things of this life. So when you feel the pressure of life come on you, what is it you turn to? Because we all have to turn to something. We have to get release, right? We have to be able to cry out. Some of you do it by a little weed. Some of you do it with heavier drugs or alcohol. And you know it leads down the wrong road. You know it does. When you do it, you know this is not good for me. This is going to take me backward. And yet you go right back. Like the dog returns to his vomit. You keep going back to that sin. He's saying, don't do that. But be filled. I'm so glad he says what to do. He says, be filled with the Spirit. When the pressure of life gets on your back, instead of turning to a substance, you turn to Him. And He will help you. I promise you He does. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. My dad was an alcoholic. Excuse my language, but it was a hell of a life. It was awful. I could not wait. You wonder why I went to work at 15? It was to get out of the house. I hated my life. I often thought of suicide. And I was a Christian at 7. His sin affected me. And let me just tell you, your sin affects everyone else. But so does your high standard of living for God. You can either bring righteousness in your house or you can bring unrighteousness. The choice is yours. Our lives are to be overflowing. Overflowing with the Holy Spirit. You can't minister until you're overflowing. Part of the problem we have today in the church is we got so many dry people trying to help dry people. Somebody needs to start a fire. We need to get a little fire in the church again. A little Spirit of the Lord moving. I'm not talking about stupid human tricks. I'm talking about the genuine move of God. Some of these kids have never seen it. Some of you have never seen the genuine. God wants to be involved in your life. He's the healer. He's the provider. He's everything we need in this life. Why look elsewhere when we got the real deal? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When you get saved, when you ask Jesus in your heart, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. But it's within measure. Sometimes we need a little bit more. So there's a second act of grace, and it's called being baptized in the Spirit of God. And it's where the Holy Spirit comes upon you without measure. So that you have this enormous ability to do, to think like He does. I wouldn't take anything for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know that we've scared a lot of people off. Don't let us be stupid, scare you. God is good. You should want everything He has to offer. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never, ever, ever make you do something that you're uncomfortable with. I promise you, you are still in charge. He comes to help, to support. But you need Him far worse than what you can imagine. He says, in the very first of this, He said, for the days are evil. I got news for you. They're getting worse. And then He switches gears just a little bit. And He goes into something where He teaches us how to act when we come together. Corporately, when we are together, Paul lays out about six things that he says, here, do this. This should help you. I've got news for you. Church is far more important than what you can imagine. You know, God only instituted two things. Maybe you could say three. He instituted the family in the beginning. In the New Testament, He instituted the church. And you could say that He instituted government because He's all about order. I said it this way. The church is God's baby. Have you ever seen a man restore a car? It's their baby. They have poured their time and effort in that and a lot of money. And boy, they take care of it. They protect that thing. That's what the church is to God. The church is God's baby because He gave His only begotten Son to start the church. The church is not these walls. You are the church. And we get together. He says, there's some things that should happen. Every time you get together, these things. And I find that we don't understand some of them. The first one, He says, hymns. Hymns are victory in Jesus. They're songs that's been around for 100 years that were inspired by a man. It is well with my soul. I cannot sing that song that it does not touch me deeply. Because I know the struggle of Horatio Spafford. I know where he was at when he wrote that song. And then he says, Psalms. What's he talking about? He's talking about the book of Psalms. Can you remember, if you've been saved as long as me, back in the 70s, we'd come to church and the song leader would say, turn to Psalm 19. We all had King James versions and we'd sing right out of the Word of God. Most of the hymns that we sing are directly from the Word. Many of them directly from Psalms. When I read the Psalms, I'll tell trivia, hey, did you know this song? It's coming right out of Psalms 117. Word for word. If you want to memorize something, turn it into a song. You ever thought, I really would like to know this verse? Make a tune to it. Now, you may not want to share it with everybody. But it might help you to memorize it. And then he says, spiritual songs. And I find that we don't know what that is. I thought they were all spiritual, Eric. Well, sort of. Spiritual songs are impromptu. Have you ever thought maybe in the church that some of the people in the church got a different songbook and no one passed that out to you because they're all singing and you're like, where'd they get the words to that song? And why are they not singing the same words? And what's that? Because there's almost always in our service, there's a time when it just gets quiet and someone says, holy, He is holy, worthy of my praise. And it begins to just go back and forth. It's spiritual songs that are being written on the spot that make some people uncomfortable. But I'm going to tell you, they will touch the heart of God. Sometimes spiritual songs come out of deep trouble. You know, they said, if David had had Xanax, we wouldn't have the book of Psalms. Most of the Psalms that he wrote are laments. He's pouring his heart out to God. And we read it and find so much comfort. And when the day we found my mother dead in the floor, very similar to Brother Terry, 17 years ago, and it was on a Saturday, and Sunday I was in church. And it was a psalm that came to my mind. As I said in that song service, I said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For you have been a fortress to me, a strong tower. You need to read the Psalms. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray in the understanding. And I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing in the understanding. Now, when we gather together, we sing and pray in the understanding. But in your prayer closet, you Spirit-filled people, sing. Sing. You that want to be Spirit-filled, I don't think we ought to have to labor over this thing. We don't labor over salvation. I think we ask the Lord, Jesus, I want everything you died to give me. I want to be filled with the Spirit. You don't need a preacher. Brian Goff was filled with the Spirit in the middle of the night. He woke up speaking in tongues. I told him, I said, you are so hard-headed that God had to knock you out to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. But you know, what's more important is his desire. I just desire all of him that I can get. And that will be turned into a song. At some point in your life, some of you say, Eric, you ain't ever heard me sing. And that might be a good thing. You know, most of my life I've hated my voice. And I've been criticized when I was a kid and just sort of something stuck to me and very intimidated. And then when I was 15, the pastor asked me to start leading worship. And I'm thinking, I can't call hogs and you want me to lead worship. My voice was changing. I was 15. And I started leading worship like that. But I just got to the point where, hey, I'm not singing for you. I'm singing to him. And I don't care how intimidated you are with your voice, lift up a song to him. Lift up a song to him. You got to know this. God gave us music. The devil tried to pervert it. God gave us the dance. God gave us all the arts. Now the world has tried to pervert it all. But let's restore them back. Right? Can we not do that? Can we not bring the perfect, the pure back into the house of God? There's something about singing that lifts your heart. I mean, on your absolutely worst day, make a song to him. I promise you, you will feel his presence. He will lift you up. Then he says, making melody in your heart. Do you know the word making melody? The Greek word is psalmo, P-S-A-L-L-O. Sounds like the Psalms, right? It means to play a stringed instrument. We got a large part of the body of Christ that says it's not right to play stringed instruments in the church. But in the New Testament, if you go to the Greek, it says making melody, which is the very verse that they take and say we can't use instruments. The actual Greek means to play an instrument. How deceived can we be? I'm telling you, when you realize God gave it to us in the beginning. Do you know that Pentecost, when it started, people got mad at us because they were taking all the ballroom songs, the songs that they heard drinking and carousing, and started writing godly music to it, godly words, honky-tonk songs. I'm aging myself. And that's where a lot of the criticism over Pentecost came. Because they took what they knew and they put different words to it and lifted it up before the Lord. And God blessed it. Make a melody in your heart. Giving thanks always for all things to God. This is what the house of the Lord is supposed to be like. We come together. We give Him thanks. And then this last verse, sometimes we take this out of context and we throw it into marriage, but the truth of the matter is this verse is about corporate worship. Submitting to one another. Submitting to one another. I am not your Lord. And I am not your boss. I'm your pastor. I'm here to serve you. Can I say this? Submission can never be required by one over another. If you have to require it, you don't really have it. If you're a husband that demands submission by your wife, you don't have it. You are fooling yourself. She may be browbeat, but she ain't submitting. She may be intimidated by your wrath or by your anger outburst, but she's not really submitting. She's just cowing down. A woman has no problem submitting to her husband when he loves her like Christ did the church. That's next week's sermon, by the way. Come back. Oh yeah, Pastor, I want to hear that one. I find that sometimes churches now are going to a list of rules. What you can do and what you can't do. It's not about enforcing rules. It's about finding freedom in the Spirit of God to worship together. He laid out some groundwork here. He says, here's how you come together. Church is where we learn to do life together. Sometimes we learn patience from each other and restraint. But we need to learn it. We need to learn it. We need to learn joy and love, how to encourage and exhort and lift each other up and pray for each other and feel each other's needs. Know what we're going through. Submission will happen as we love Jesus. As we concentrate on Him and focus on Him, we will automatically want to serve each other. And that's what the church is all about. You know, you don't have to beg for money when you need money in the church. You just ask God. You ask God. He'll give it. If you really need it, God will make a way for you. If you go out looking for it on your own, you'll create a name for yourself. Worst thing in the world a church can do is start lending money to each other. It's bad news. It's bad news. We're not supposed to lend money to each other. We're supposed to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And when someone has a need, the Spirit of God will tell you. And sometimes you'll know a need, and the Holy Ghost will say, no, don't do this one. Set this one out. This is self-inflicted, and they need to learn a little lesson. That's tough love. But it happens all the time. Brother was telling me just this morning, their air conditioner went out at a time in their life when funds was really tight. They didn't ask for money, but the Holy Ghost knew they needed something. My sister in the Lord came up to him and said, the Lord just told me that I'm supposed to pay for your air conditioner. He said, no, you can't do that. He said, obviously the Lord doesn't know how much it costs. The Lord did know how much it cost. That's why he asked this particular family whose husband was a doctor. They had the funds. They could help. I love to see when the church flows together, submitting to one another. We become tight. We become a fortress. We become an army of God. Satan hates it. So he wants to splinter it as much as he can. But if we'll listen to him, if we will keep him first, I can't tell you how many books there are written, how many emails I get every day. You need to do these 6 things and your church will grow. If you'll follow these 7 things, if you'll do this, I get so sick of it, I just don't read any of them. I said, Lord, you said you build the church. I'm your servant. I'll do anything you ask me. But building the church is up to him. It's not up to me. When the church first started, he said he added to the church. And then later he says he multiplied it. Now I am praying for multiplication. Multiplication happens a whole lot faster than adding. So I say, Lord, multiply it. Multiply it. Which, what's that mean? It means a whole lot more work for me. Bless the Lord. But I'm ready for it. Because it means more souls. More influence in this community. More people knowing what we know. How sweet Jesus is. Keep it coming, Jesus. Keep it coming. Would you stand with me? I've got 3 questions I want to ask you. Are you spending your time and energy wisely as unto the Lord? Are you spending your time and energy wisely? Are you just going through life sort of haphazardly? Number 2, are you turning to a substance for joy, for recreation, for a little bit of relaxation? Number 3, are you filled with the Spirit of God? However you would deem that. Come on, I'm not asking you if you speak in tongues. Can you just stop that for a second? Stop it. Look at me. Would you tell me I am filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not asking you if you're speaking in tongues. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Because if you're not, He wants you to be. He wants you to be. And you need to be. If you're turning to a substance, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're walking unwisely, you're not filled with the Spirit. Because when the Spirit comes in, He gives you the mind of Christ. You don't always use it, but He's there for you. I'm going to ask that you do something just a little differently today. I'm going to ask that you step out of your pew and come and stand down here. We're not going to labor this service. But if you say, Eric, I need more. I need to be filled with the Spirit. I want to know that I'm filled, overflowing. Eric, I'm really dealing with substance. Whether it's a fork or a needle or something you smoke. We got a lot of abuse in the house of God. Maybe it's looking at your computer, the things you ought not be looking at. God wants to fill that need. Am I just going through life, never trying to redeem the time? Am I spending my days wisely? Would you step out and let's do some corporate prayer as we dismiss. Anybody at all, come stand up. Stand out here. Hallelujah. Let's sing it, Treva.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Lord, I
need you. Oh, I need. Can we raise our hands? Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Hallelujah. Most of you know that I'm very relational. In other words, I know my congregation. I know my congregation pretty well. Unfortunately, at this point, I know this altar ought to be full. Maybe you're thinking about what you got to do the rest of the day. There's no more important moment than what we're doing right now. There are people that are sick. People are struggling. People dealing with a lot of things in this house. People that have convinced themselves they're full of the Holy Ghost, but they're not. Got a lot of people in the house that speak in tongues, but you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. I know we've been taught. We've been taught. But He is not consuming you. He wants to consume you. So that you always have Him on your mind. You're always seeking Him. I'm not going to lay my hands on you guys. Because I have nothing to offer you. Other than taking you to the throne. Can we pray for these folks? God, I thank you, Lord, for the honesty and the humility of those that have stepped forward. Lord, I know some of them are really battling some things in their life. Some things they have done to themselves, and others are battling things that just life has been putting on them. But either way, God, we surrender it to you. We ask forgiveness for those things that we have brought upon ourselves. And we ask you for your help for all things. Lord, I pray that we would be overcomers in Christ because I know you want us to be. I pray right now that the Spirit of God would fill these folks with the Holy Spirit. Without measure, I pray the Holy Spirit would come into their hearts and into their lives and bring the power of God that they need to succeed in the areas that they need. God, I pray that as they look at themselves in the mirror, they no longer see themselves as failures. They put the failures behind them. Now they see victory in Jesus. In the worst days of their life, we focus on you and not me. Our eyes turn to you. Whence comes our help. We look to you, Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Spirit today. Let us walk in step with Him. Let us live with Him. His way, not our ways. Have your perfect will in each one of these folks. God, I pray that each one of them have an encounter with you. Have an encounter with you when they quiet themselves down. I pray the Holy Spirit would move into their lives and they would know that they know that they know that you are with them and they will never be alone again. And God, I pray that we stay full of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every person here today. God, I pray that we would look to you and we would walk very cautiously in life. And when it looks too good to be true, God, help us to be extremely cautious. Help us to always consult you before any decisions we make, we turn to You. We listen for the whispers of heaven. Talk to us, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.